let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
And welcome to the podcast. My name is Brian David Thompson. You're listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. And I'm here in studio with CK Thompson and Mike Thompson a little bit later on. And we're broadcasting from Las Vegas. Always sunny down here. Great place to be. And I just want to thank you guys for listening.
Hello, Brian.
Hello. What did you have to start out with, CK? Go ahead.
We've had a few overcast days here.
It's still warmer than most.
That's true.
No contest.
We are so blessed here. I love Las Vegas. Everyone ought to live here. Well, that's kind of like logistically impossible, but...
Yep. Well, at least down here in the Southwest somewhere.
Yeah. We should... Okay. You know what? I do have something that I want to share today. It's been on my heart. I've been writing. I've been doing some very, very serious writing. The Lord told me to start writing in the year 2016. And, of course, he told me that actually several years ago. But in 2016, he's like gave me a swift kick in the spiritual derriere and said, start writing. So today, you know what I wrote?
What'd you write?
Christmas cards.
Today you did?
I did.
Why'd you do Christmas cards today?
Well, today's January 20th. It's probably going to... January 20, 2016, because I am determined to do Christmas cards that I didn't do and I didn't get done.
So this isn't for next year that you're talking about? You're talking about last Christmas, Christmas cards?
I'm talking about Christmas cards that should have been written 2 months ago.
Just trying to be clear here. Okay.
Yes.
All right, keep going.
Yeah. I like to follow through. Even if I'm a little late, better late than never. Now, at this point, I was just writing in the cards, joy to the world, Christmas is over.
Wow.
But as I write, and this is what happens to me when I write Christmas cards, I prophesy. I start prophesying. When I see the names of the person that I'm writing it to, immediately I just start writing whatever I'm hearing. And I've been hearing a lot about 2016 as I'm writing to these people, what the Lord has in mind for this year. And it's really exciting.
Interesting.
This is going to be an exciting year. In fact, I feel like the Lord is calling it a year of adventure, 2016.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The year of adventure. The year that the body of Christ is going up. We're going up. Everyone's going up. Everyone that's saying yes to the call of God is going up in everything that they're called to do. He's calling us all up to operate on a new plane that we haven't really walked in before. It's been reserved for this time, and we're going up. The kingdom of heaven is invading earth. At this point in time, it is touching down. Revival is going to break out. People are going to be, souls are coming to Jesus. We're going to see more of a harvest this year than we've seen since. And then I couldn't think of a time that we've seen it since.
So maybe ever, in other words, ever, not just something back in the 1970s or something, people like to say.
Right. This is not going to be a rerun of the 70s. This is a whole new thing.
No, that's good news.
Yeah. It's awesome. And just like, like the Star Wars, The Force Awakens, I do believe it's a very prophetic movie.
Yeah.
I see the form of the Lord in all kinds of stuff that people think is a little bit odd. But I saw it. When I came to the Lord, when I got saved, baptized in the Spirit, and the Lord called us into the ministry, is in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I was a teenager, and I was married, and they didn't know what to do with Mike and me because we were teenagers, but we were married. We were still in high school. I was. He was in college. They didn't know where they put us in the youth group, young married class. And frankly, we didn't want to be stuck in any of... We wanted to be out there on the street, getting people saved, telling them about the Lord. And that's what we've been doing ever since. But Star Wars came out, the original, in 1977. That's the year that we went into the ministry. That's the year we were actually ordained into the ministry.
Yeah.
That's the year we went full-time into the ministry. We just never looked back. But it was right in the middle of revival when Star Wars came out, and the world had never seen anything like it before. Do you guys remember? Mike's going to be in the studio shortly.
Yeah, in a little bit. He's coming in.
We were just talking about how back in those days, when a movie would come to town, and especially in a small town that where we lived when we were that age, the world had never seen anything like it before. Movies would come to town, and they would stay for like a week. And that was your shot to see them, because there were no videos. They weren't going to be coming out on video pretty soon.
Right, exactly. There wasn't any other media involved. You just had to go watch a movie.
Exactly. You actually had to go to the theater.
Or streaming it. No other things.
Right, exactly. You couldn't sit in the... They didn't have to tell you to turn off your cell phone at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. And also... At that time, I guess the first movie I ever went to in my life, I think I was 10 years old, because it was a very strict outward holiness type background. And so we didn't play cards. We didn't go bowling. If there were pool tables at the bowling alley, we could if there weren't. But apparently people would gamble playing pool. I didn't know that. According to the manual of the church that I was raised in, men and women should not go swimming in the same swimming pool at the same time.
Oh, really? Yeah.
it was real strict,
you're talking
extremely,
about.
Extremely, extremely strict. You didn't go to restaurants that sold alcoholic beverages. So I didn't have pizza till I was much older, about the same time we went to movies.
Couldn't go to any pizza parlor because they all had sold alcoholic beverages.
Yeah, they
couldn't
had
step
beer.
Foot in there.
Even
Got
if
it.
You went on the side that didn't have beer, in Oregon, there it was split in half. You go, yeah. There was a side that didn't have beer, and there was a side that did. Mm. But I did not taste pizza until I was about 10, 11 years old.
Oh, okay.
All and right. I guess about that age is when I started asking. But why? Why? I want some of that. I didn't even know it existed.
Right.
Pizza?
Right. So your upbringing was super strict. And,
oh, boy.
So they probably wouldn't let you go to a movie, I'm guessing.
No. I did not go to a movie until I was young. Well, until I was older. First movie I ever saw was Mary Poppins.
Hmm.
So I loved that movie. But just because I got to go to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Never been to one in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I didn't go to hell for it either.
Nope.
They used to tell us that Jesus waited outside on the sidewalk.
Right.
If you went inside a movie theater.
So do it at your own risk. Because if
exactly.
anything happens to you, then you're going to hell. Because Jesus is not in your heart. He's waiting on the sidewalk outside.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And if Jesus came back while you were watching a movie, then it's too bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't getting into any of that today. But isn't religion ridiculous?
Yes.
Legalism is one of the most ridiculous things when you think about it. Some of the stuff that they put out there or mm-hmm. try to tell the children. You know what's scarier than that? If you tell them the truth that Jesus is going in there with you and that Jesus is actually going to watch that movie with you. See, now that to me would be a bigger deterrent than threatening that he's going to stay outside. Like,
yeah,
oh.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah.
Well, if he's staying outside, I can go in there and do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. Right, because he won't know.
Yeah. Then we come out and say, hey, Jesus, things are good.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, he's with you. He's going in there with you. That would get your attention,
mm-hmm.
seems like.
Yep.
Religion's not very smart.
No. So they wouldn't let you go see the movie, and it was probably because you were talking about Star Wars.
Yes. That, Star Wars.
When it came out in 77.
Thank you. Yes. It was the very first time. It was a historic event that a movie stayed. See, if a movie was good, it would stay. Maybe they would hold it over for another week, and then that would be the big deal in the paper. Held over
mm-hmm.
one more week. This is your shot to see this movie, because then it's going to go back into the cycle where you wouldn't see it again for 7 years, usually.
Hmm.
Disney did that with their cartoons and features and so forth. So we saw Cecil B. DeMille's... Oh, what is it? Exodus.
What was it? Exodus? Ten Commandments?
Ten Commandments. Thank you. It would come out every 7 years.
Oh, okay.
They would re-release it. So I did get to see that in the theater. The fabulous Parting the Red Sea and mm-hmm. all that. The whole Hollywoodized version that was Charlton Heston, which changed his life, actually. But Star Wars hit, and everything changed. Suddenly, there was a movie at the movie theater that just, they wouldn't leave. They couldn't take it away because people just kept packing the place out.
Mm.
Weeks and weeks. Weeks turned into months. Held over. Still held over. I remember it was at the Tower Theater in the city, in the town where we live.
Right.
And people would go back and see it over and over and over. We'd never seen special effects like that. There was something about that movie. And now looking back on it, I do believe there was an anointing on that movie that had to do with that season we were in the body of Christ.
Oh.
And people don't realize how much God's involved in these things.
Sure.
In the timing and all that. He uses all kinds of people and things you don't expect. He doesn't just use churchy stuff to
right.
speak to generations of people. So yeah, it was that movie had such an impact on us, on popular culture. I mean, to this day, people quote it. I mean, it's just part of the vernacular of, you know, so many sayings and things we got from that movie. I was actually pregnant with your brother.
Uh-huh.
And we hadn't gone to see the movie yet. It had been in town for 3 months, and I didn't want to miss the movie because I kept thinking they were going to do their usual thing and then say, okay, last chance to see the movie before it leaves.
Okay.
And so 3 months it had been in town, and I thought, we better go see this movie. And as we were getting ready to go that night, I had this funny feeling that I shouldn't go. And sure enough, your brother was born that night.
Okay. Oh, so you didn't go.
So I did yeah. not go. So after his birth and weeks of recovery, etc., we finally got to go see Star Wars.
Still there.
It was still in town.
Still there. So you went and saw it.
I did.
Okay.
And I probably went back and saw it, I think, like 7 times, maybe 10. I mean, we just kept going back and going back and going back. And I even sneaked in because they had it. It was one of those things that had more than one. That was a new thing at the time, too. There were 3 theaters. They had split the one big one into 3.
Mm-hmm.
We watched a different movie for a change. And then when we got out, I could hear Star Wars going in the other big theater. And so we sneaked in and watched it. And it hurt my conscience so bad that I sent money to the theater through the mail later.
Oh, really?
And told them what I did and told them I'm a Christian and I stole a movie from you and I'm sorry. Here's the money. Mm. So anyway, my overactive conscience, I just couldn't do that. My point, and I do have one.
Okay. Yeah.
My point is, it was right in the middle of revival. Revival was happening when that movie came out.
Yeah.
And it happened. It's funny how it took on a life of its own. That movie took on a life of its own. Revival takes on a life of its own. When the move of God hits planet Earth, when the kingdom invades, it takes on a life of its own. And people cannot manipulate and control what that's going to look like. You have a lot of groups that try, and they try to shut down or dictate what it has to look like, how God moved back in the 50s or something like that. And so I feel cautioned by the Lord, don't say that it has to look like it looked in the 70s. It's going to look different every time that the Lord moves. But we are in a season of the ebbs and flows of the Spirit where revival is getting ready to bust out like majorly. It's touching down. And Mike, who will be in the studio shortly, has had, I believe it is 4 visits from the angel of Israel, the Archangel Michael. In one of those, two of them, anyway, Mike can share later, but the angel told him that he showed him the revival that was in the atmosphere, is literally hanging in the atmosphere right now over the United States, the coming move of God for America.
Yeah.
That so many Christians don't even believe is going to happen.
So this, so the timing, I mean, this is happening again.
It's happening
again. And
it just
again. So happens that there's been the release of another Star Wars movie.
Exactly.
At the same time that it's happening now, because that first Star Wars was released when that move happened in the 70s.
Exactly. And so even though there were sequels and there were prequels and all that stuff, there's something about this movie. And when we got to see this movie, and I want to go back and see it again, I sat and cried because I knew that it's touching down. That revival that the Lord showed Mike, that, you know, we have seen it, it's in the heavenlies. It's preparing to bust loose into the earth. And at the same time, the Force Awakens. I mean,
right.
It's just too prophetic to be. And we were sitting there in that movie theater. And see, because the Lord had spoke to us in the early 80s. And he told me that he was holding us in reserve for the next move of God. And I'm like, really? Because I'm thinking that's just a few years, and yet it seemed like, but I want it now. We came into revival. We went into the ministry during revival. That's what we were about. That's what mattered to us. We didn't want churchism. We wanted revival. We wanted the power of God always. We wanted those anointings, the glory. We saw some amazing, awesome stuff, and I didn't ever want it to stop. And so when things started, like, you know, every move of God, if you don't, there's always people that are going to ride to the shore, ride that wave to the shore, and then camp there. And that's kind of what happened. And they all camped in their little separate little camps. And so that move of God produced several different moves of the, you know, that people that camped on the shore with their own particular persuasion of what God was trying to do in the earth, and decided that that's the end of it, and this is what we're going to guard this move. And
yeah, so they just stayed there, then refused to move on or to see what else God might be doing, or watch out for changes,
right?
See just what the new wave is, so to speak.
And then they turned into the old guard themselves, and they, you know, like that's like that self-appointed guards of the truth. Guardians, and it really shut down revival. It shut down people, and then had like a whole generation of people that came up that didn't even know what revival looked and felt like, the real deal.
Right.
Because you can't control it. You can't control revival any more than you can control the wind. Well, you can put up a windmill, but you can't control it. You can use it. You can become skilled in how to, you know, send that wind where you want it, but you can't control it.
Mm-mm.
And so this movie comes to town in the midst of the Lord speaking to us about revival.
Yeah.
And us going into 2016, here comes this movie. And I sat and cried. I sat and cried. And the Lord had talked to me about holding us in reserve for the next move. He had talked to me, he's been talking to me for years about the boomers. That God's not done with the baby boomers and this generation with the fire in their bones and the passion that the religion and society tried to put out that fire. And all of a sudden the boomers start waking up and they don't know why. Like the passion inside is starting to be reignited and they don't know where'd that come from? We thought we were supposed to go into retirement and suddenly they're awake. Suddenly they're like, wait a minute, I'm not done yet. They don't even understand the passion that's starting to wake up. It's called destiny, guys. It's destiny that's in your DNA. And right at the time that this is starting to happen, here comes this same movie. And with that same kind of punch to it as the first one.
Okay.
It's not just a prequel. It's not just a... It's a whole... I don't want to do a spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You better watch out for that.
Yeah. But I do want to say this. When I was sitting there in that theater, I sat and cried. I cried. I mean, more than once. I cried at all the places probably where most people were like, yeah, yeah. I just sat and cried. I cried at one point, just sobbing. And it just, I mean, it felt to me like the Lord might as well have just stepped down out of the screen and shook my hand and said, "See, I told you it was coming." And this is, it was just had such an impact on my heart. It's here. It's here. And that's what 2016, destiny that's in our DNA is being stirred up. And even if you're listening to me right now, anyone listening to my voice right now, you can feel it. Did you feel that anointing just come in like that? All of a sudden, for sure.
Like, yeah.
Boom.
That just dropped.
Yeah. Because this is our time. And the Lord keeps saying, strap yourself in for an adventure. I don't know if you strap yourself in. This is get into the ride. It's going to be quite a ride.
Okay.
It's an adventure. It's not going to be predictable. God's getting ready to do some things that blow people's minds, and all of the scholars and theologians and everybody who thinks they've got it all figured out are going to be very surprised at what God's going to do.
Yeah.
The whole essence of revival, it takes on a life of its own. We are going to see, and we've already begun to see, it already started last fall, souls. We have been seeing more people come into the kingdom, getting saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, getting excited about their own destiny, starting to wake up in their hearts than we've seen in years. And that's just the beginning. We're going into this year, everything is changing, which also means people are going to have some choices to make. Because as destiny is being laid out before us, the enemy is afraid. And he's offering this alternate destiny to so many people. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden, things were okay. And all of a sudden, something, you know, goes, I'm trying to think, you know, a bad situation. Something comes up in people's lives and they're like, sure. What happened? What just happened? Uh-huh. Everything was great. And all of a sudden, I, you know, haven't been able to get out of bed for 2 weeks or something like that. Something weird. And the enemy, like, sitting there trying to interject his alternate destiny and try to get people to receive it. Like, well, God didn't really want you to prosper. He didn't really want you to, you know, those things. It's not time yet. Or it's not really going to happen for you. Pray for your children. You know, well, you know, if you don't get your, if you don't lay hold of your inheritance, you got nothing to pass on to your children. And that's how it goes in the spiritual realm. Baby boomers and busters, the next generation, each generation, as they get older, they're starting to feel like, I'm not done yet. I'm not where I thought I was going to be at this point in life. And the Lord is stirring that destiny within them because, the anointings for supernatural youth, for longevity. This planet, I mean, it's not... Things are changing for people. People are living longer. There are cures to diseases that are coming that people, I mean, it's just now being brought into through medical science and so forth, that things that they are discovering, cures for diseases that they hadn't, you know, cures for, oh man, I was just reading about it recently. Things that people really didn't think there would ever be a cure for, that cures are coming in the natural and healing in the spiritual realm. Because God loves people and he does it, whatever he's going to do, he does it in both realms.
Yes.
It does it in the spirit and it manifests in the natural as well. And there's also, I have to throw this part in, and that is about supernatural finances. We've been talking a lot about supernatural youth and God redeeming our time. And by the way, this is not a sermon.
No.
This is not a sermon. This is a prophetic word. He that has ears to hear. The Lord has been redeeming our time. The thing about the rod in the head, if you want to go back and listen to Stick It in Your Ear, it's a very powerful dream and thing that actually we've been walking in. But one of the things that I haven't talked about that much is the anointing for supernatural finances. It's an anointing. The anointing for finances. Because that's the one area that's been the hardest for people to bust through. They're like... I want to be well. I want to live long. I want to be healthy. But when you try to talk to people about money, something in their heart tries to shut them down. The spirit of religion inserted this thing into the body of Christ so long ago, generations ago. And it's one of the things that God has to deliver his people. people have to be open to receive deliverance from their misbeliefs and from the spirit of poverty that has shut them down, because you cannot fulfill your destiny if you don't have the money to do it.
And that's good.
The bottom line. That's the reason for supernatural finances. And there have been people in the past that, you know, get a revelation, they preach about money, and it's good. People need to know there are spiritual laws, laws of sowing and reaping, laws of seed time and harvest. Everything
reproduces after itself.
Thank you. Yes. Everything reproduces after its own kind. That's the law of Genesis. There are spiritual laws. The spiritual, like the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. There are laws that are laws, whether we like it or not. Even if you don't believe in the law of gravity, it's still in operation. If you jump off a roof sometime, you'll find out that you, whether you believe it or not, it's still a law.
You're still subject to the law.
Exactly.
There. Yeah.
There are laws of sowing and reaping. There are laws, spiritual laws, that God put in place that have to do with finances in the earth. Because he put the money on this planet. He put the resources and the gems and everything in here. The oil, the riches that are in this planet are for God's children, for his sons. And I'm a female son. He put it here for his own family, his children, his people. Why on earth would people buy a lie that they're not supposed to have any? Isn't that the dumbest thing you ever heard?
Yeah, total deception.
Absolutely. Religion makes no sense. And yet, there are people out there, and Jesus talked to me in a vision, one of the many. He said, don't let people go to hell. He said, souls are in the balance over these things. And every person under the sound of my voice, you need to know, you are called to reach souls that only you can reach. And that's part of your destiny. And that destiny that's just burning within your heart, you can't do it without the money that God has already assigned to follow you. Did you know you've already got money assigned to follow you in the earth? And it follows you when you obey God. And if you don't obey God, or if you're like, I'm waiting for the money before I do this or that, then you're going to be sitting there waiting the rest of your life, because it doesn't follow you till you obey God. That's called faith.
That's good.
And one of the biggest lies, and people need to get to the heart of this. Get to the heart of this in your own heart. What does your heart feel like when people start talking about money, especially in church, or especially for the body of Christ? They hark back to money-grubbing preachers, or they hark back to all the lies that have been sown in. And Mike just walked into the studio. Hello. Do we have a microphone for him?
We do. We've got one set.
Hi, Mike.
Go ahead. You should be live.
Are you?
Hello, everyone.
Welcome.
Well, it's nice to be here, CK.
It's good to have you here, because you can, like, so I'm talking about supernatural finances real quickly.
Yes, I heard that destiny. As I was coming in, lingering, supernatural. And I loved what you were talking about, the anointing aspect.
Yes.
Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that accomplishes everything.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't understand that. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I heard you talking about is how that people have trouble with prosperity, financial prosperity, having money. And that's true. And I can point out one thing.
Yeah.
People do not condemn other believers for wanting to get saved.
Right.
For wanting to have a good marriage. For wanting to have the best health possible, for wanting any of those other things, but there's this element, this stigma in the body of Christ, at least in many circles, it's not a blanket thing, that if you want more money or want to prosper, somehow that's wrong.
Right.
You're greedy.
Oh, yeah, right? They question your motive.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's reverse that. On the other side of the coin is that God wants us to have all of those things. And a lot of people who actually get past that element of shame and stuff connected with money and really want God's best for them and to receive and walk in that financial prosperity, to have increase in their life and, you know, have more for their families and more to give to the kingdom and the spreading of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
they have this thing where sometimes they miss it when it comes to anointing.
That's true. They say,
ooh, well, there's an anointing for salvation in the room today.
Right.
There's an anointing that's there that can heal your body.
Right.
There's an anointing for marriages mm-hmm. to be healed and husbands and wives to come back together and the healing of their hearts and their lives together. And then, oh, it's time for the offering. There's no anointing there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
The anointing is on every. If God is involved, there's an anointing there.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Anointing for finances is just as real in the kingdom as anointing for healing or salvation or anything else.
Yes. And it's as just as supernatural
as
those other anointings. Because people suddenly switch over and think, well, if I had a better job. Or I hear a lot people say, if I win the lottery, as if that's the only way that God can get that kind of money to him.
Right.
That's like one of the dumbest things I've heard, because it's an anointing.
Yes.
It's just as much an anointing as healing of cancer or something like that.
Where that's it.
You couldn't have done it yourself in the first place. It was.
Right.
It took the anointing of God to heal a person's body. That's how this anointing for finances is. It takes a supernatural anointing that you couldn't have done yourself in any way. It's a God thing.
Yes.
And people have not developed their faith in that area because money has just, their emotions and money are just so mixed up. Their belief system about money, they don't even think they're supposed to think about it. Or whatever the thing is that the enemy has tried to stop the money from coming to the body of Christ has so far been pretty, he's really done well at shutting down people in the area of believing for money or believing there is an actual anointing or even just believing that God wants them to have money.
That's true.
They acquaint it with greed,
mm-hmm.
Covetousness. They acquaint it with people misusing money. They acquaint it with being manipulated by preachers to give their, you know, money when really it wasn't God. They acquaint it with all these things that, well, there was a real greedy gospel that went on during the 80s. God has tried so many times to get the revelation. It takes a revelation of the word. And I'm going to put the book out. I'm working on, I have this collection of prosperity scriptures. I have a packet. The Bible is so full of how God feels about money and the prosperity of his people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put it out. So help me. I'm going to do it this year. God help me.
Yeah.
But they watched the greed that happened, for instance, in the 80s when people started to get a revelation about finances. And then they took it to an improper conclusion in many cases. They forgot about souls. And so sometimes, you know, when people say, oh, it's all about Cadillacs and condominiums, and you know, some people deserved that because they forgot about souls. They started comparing each other's cars and houses and you know, see how much faith I have. Well, how many people did you win to Jesus with that money? To me, that's the bottom line.
Well said.
Mm-hmm. And everybody who has a destiny, and they all do, there's no way to fulfill that destiny without the supernatural money that God wants to give you. It goes with your destiny. You can't fulfill that destiny without the money.
Mm-hmm. Money is a tool to leverage your future.
Exactly. It is. It's a tool. The word says that money is a defense. The Lord delights in the prosperity of his servants. The blessings that are listed in the blessing of the covenant. It's a covenant blessing. And he goes through in Deuteronomy 28 and lists, at least the first 14 verses, the effect of the blessing. And that is how we're blessed. Coming in, going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Our kitchen is blessed. Our flocks are blessed. Everything we do, everything you put your hand to is blessed. Your enemy that rises up against you, poverty, is, you know, smitten down before you. He comes out against you one way and flees before you seven ways. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens. The heavens! Mm-hmm. He will open to you his good treasury, to give the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and that everything you put your hand to will prosper. That's a God thing.
That's a God thing.
The open heaven also is talked about in Malachi.
Yes.
When he said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. So there's food in my house. And prove me now with this. That's the only place he really says to prove him. Prove him.
In money.
In money. Because there's so much financial fear. People are afraid. And that's also the manifestation of the spirit of poverty is fear. Fear of not enough.
Right.
Fear that if I let go of this, I won't have enough for me. Instead of understanding that when you give to God, you give to a prophet, you're giving into your own future. You are giving into the kingdom. You're giving
right.
into a heavenly dynamic that's going to change your life. He said, I will open to you the windows of heaven there, just like he said in Deuteronomy. Open to you my good treasury, the heavens. And you know, in the Amplified, there's a place that it says in there, it says, the Lord will make you have a surplus of prosperity. The Lord will make you have a surplus of prosperity. The Lord will. See, now
yes.
That's an anointing.
Exactly.
That's an anointing.
Good preaching.
Now, if it's sinful to have money, then what's he going to do? Make us sin? Is God going to make us sin by giving us a surplus of prosperity?
Right.
I don't mind having a surplus, and I'd love to have prosperity. A surplus of prosperity. What does that look like?
Yeah. And he also said that the Lord, that God, will give you the power to obtain wealth.
Yes, exactly.
Ooh, the Lord gives you the power. That's anointing.
Yes, that's right.
That's not sinful.
No.
And you know, when you were mentioning about greed and a lot, yes, that's part of it. But you know, also another dynamic in a lot of believers' hearts is they're afraid to prosper because of pain,
yeah.
emotional pain, heart mm-hmm. pain, things that they've suffered in the past. They don't want to be disappointed.
That's true. They're afraid to even try because their heart has been broken.
Yeah.
They've been beaten down in that area.
They've been conditioned to not believe, not want to have anymore, or at least not believe they can have anymore. At least they can't.
Right. For some reason, it's for other people, but not for them.
Mm-hmm. Because they haven't been able to find a job for a while, or there was some financial devastation in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so that disappointment, that heartache, they just don't want to face the pain anymore, so they don't want to reach for the wealth, for the good things, the increase that
right.
God has for them.
Right. They don't let themselves... It's like, don't toy with my heart. Don't get my hopes up.
Mm-hmm. And God wants to heal them.
Yes.
Heal their hearts.
Exactly. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The heart is connected with the treasure. If you show me your money, and I'll show you your heart.
Right.
The Lord told me that, for those who don't know, that back in the year 2000, the Lord started... He initiated a series of dreams and visions, which continue to this day. I just had one like last week, another dream about money. And it never ceases to amaze me. So one of the things that the Lord has really brought to my attention through all of these dreams and visions is the connection between people's hearts and money. There is such a heart connection, and he said many times, you know, like he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is an actual demonic entity. It's a demon. It's not money itself. It's the money. It's the demon that's in charge of money, just earthly money, the system, money system on the earth. And you can't serve God and mammon. That's why he said, seek first the kingdom of God with your money. He was talking about with your money, saying, like, don't worry about all this stuff. It takes money. You know, what about, what am I going to have to eat? What do I have to wear? All these things that take money. Stop worrying about it. Seek first the kingdom of God. He was saying, with your money. And then all these things will be added to you. He will make sure that you are taken care of and prospered if you will seek first his kingdom with your money. Now, in order to do that, your heart has to be connected with seeking first the kingdom instead of your own need or your own pain. Because people, the pain in their hearts keeps them from, I mean, they're seeking comfort for that instead of seeking first the kingdom. And they'll come along and they'll tell you, well, what do you need my money for? You don't, because we're full-time in the ministry. We have been for, you know, well, since 1977.
Yes.
And we've even said, you know, the word of God is true. The only thing that God cannot do is lie. And he said that he would provide all of our need according to his riches, which are in the glory in Christ Jesus. If you're standing on that word, which we are, and he doesn't keep his word, everything would fall apart because he's holding all things together by the power of his word. And so we have been standing steadfastly on that scripture, and the Lord has taken care of us all these years. We live by faith, and that does not mean scraping the bottom of the barrel or, you know,
heavens, no.
Like a lot of people believe that, oh, well, he lives by faith, so they, you know, want to send you to Goodwill to get your clothes. I don't believe in that. God's my boss.
That's right.
He takes good care of us. He pays us well. And there are times when I've had to, you know, I take a stand and say, I refuse to apologize for the blessing of God on my life. Other people, other ministers, becoming jealous because, like, how come you're blessed? What makes you so special? Well, nothing that makes me any more special than you other than maybe I believe God.
Mm-hmm. Believe the word.
Believe it and be a doer of it. You can't judge another person. Don't judge their blessing unless you know what their seed was. You can't. If they got a harvest, you don't know how much seed they put in there. If you're planting a little tiny handful of seed and you got a little bitty harvest, don't get mad at the guy that planted a whole sack full of seed. You know,
right?
Just because we don't do it publicly where everybody can see how much we plant, we have been planting and planting and planting for years.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that we sow to the Spirit, yes, in prayer, but we give actual money, cash, whatever you want to call it, into the kingdom. Because you can't get people saved. Jesus said, don't let people go to hell. Preach the gospel in season and out. In Romans it says, how can they hear unless the preacher is sent? And the people don't care about souls enough to send the preacher, there's something seriously wrong. They want to keep the preacher poor so that you can only preach to a handful of people in Dinkyville. Well, then you go to Dinkyville Church. I'm going to go reach the nations. And we've been doing that. We just, you know, don't go around bragging about it. But, you know, we have a lot of people that we're ministering to, and it's going to increase.
That's right.
So the Lord said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it's always like this song that rolls around in me, like, show me the money. Show me the money, and I'll show you your heart. I'll show you your heart.
That's a spiritual song.
Yeah. The Lord's saying that to me.
Yes.
Show me the money, and I'll show you your heart. Show me where your money's going. I'll show you where your heart is. If you want to know where our heart is, our books are open.
Oh, man.
Our heart is in the kingdom.
For a lot of years, it's been in the gospel.
Absolutely.
The ministry, saving people.
What else matters? Whatever anointing you want in your life, you've got to give into it.
And that's a really good point. A lot of people think that, well, as long as I give to God, it doesn't matter. And on the one side of the coin, yes, it's good to be obedient to God. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of the coin is that he expects you to develop anointings in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that you hook up with anointings, is being Spirit-led, but purposely, with the Holy Spirit's leadership, aligning yourself, hooking up with ministries and anointings on ministries and revelations on ministries by giving.
Mm-hmm.
Not just listening to their sermons, their teachings, or going there once in a while, but giving. When you give, it creates a bonding of your heart with the revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And it impacts.
Yes. You know? It opens the door of your heart for the anointing that you desire. You have to give something into it. Again, spiritual laws. It's the way it is. When people, we have so many, and you know, we really need to, people keep coming or writing or whatever with their testimonies. For instance, if I needed such and such, and the Lord told me to give you this offering. And so I did, and then all heaven broke loose in my life in this area. Because they know for one thing that we believe that they should prosper. I believe that every person under the sound of my voice should be prosperous. It's God's will for you to prosper. And if you don't know that, if you're not sure, you can't prosper. You got to know that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know,
mm-hmm.
that it's God's will in order to lay hold of it. You can't be a warrior for something you don't not quite sure about. God wants you to prosper, whoever you are, listening to my voice right now. Now, you may be in tears, but like, Lord, I want to prosper. You know my needs. Of course he knows your needs. He loves you so deeply. Don't you know he weeps over you? I've seen him do it. He weeps over his children who they don't understand how much he wants them. He longs for you to prosper. But he also knows that if you don't plant that carrot, it can't grow into a carrot.
Mm-hmm.
He gives seed to the sower because he wants you to prosper. But you got to plant something first.
Right.
There's no ship coming in if you didn't send a ship out, you know? And that's not a legalistic thing. It's practical.
It's a spiritual law.
Yeah, it is. It's like asking Jesus to come into your heart so you can be saved. Mm-hmm. And then you live for him and you become a doer of his word.
Right.
Where is your heart? Because if your heart is in, you know, lattes, you know, I've seen people.
Sure.
Or if your heart is in gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, you know, people that
cars.
Just, you know, cars.
Automobiles, houses, 401ks.
Yeah.
Vacations. And it's not that it's wrong for them to have any of those things. It's that if those things have their heart.
Right. If they're more interested in that and don't understand that, you know, you could get there much quicker if you gave. We give our way into and out of everything. Mike and I do.
Yes, we do.
If we are in a financial situation, we will give our way out of it. If we only have enough, if we don't have enough to pay the bills, there's no point in trying to. We'll just give it.
Mm-hmm.
We say, okay, then we'll just give our way out of this. We do exactly what the devil doesn't think we're going to do. We'll give that thing away. We will give. I will find whatever I can and give. I'll give and give and give and never stop giving, because first of all, that's what love does. Agape gives. God so loved that he gave. He's the original giver. I want to be like him. He gives to people that don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
He gives, you know, the ultimate, you know, loving your enemy is to give him a gift. Give. You want to see that demon broken off of, you know, coals of fire heaped on their head?
Heaping coals of fire.
That's heaping coals of fire on a head demon that's been controlling their life and making them persecute you. Give them an offering.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And without getting into details, we did that very thing. Now we give tithes, offerings, all those things all the time.
Yeah.
But we had a financial need last week.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some specific things we were believing for. And actually, there was a gift that was there for us to be able to do that. But because of the financial needs we were believing for in some other areas, we took that and on purpose sowed it.
Right.
We gave it away.
Yeah, we did. We gave away we gave away most of our, well, okay.
That's what we do.
Yeah, that's what we do. We practice what we preach. And so when we talk about money, no, don't let your heart just slam shut thinking that we're looking for your money. People do that when the moment of the minister starts talking about money, because they think, oh dear, he wants an offering.
We're not trying to get money from them. We're trying to get money to them.
Exactly. Exactly.
By the anointing.
Mm-hmm. And you've got to hook up with a ministry that believes that God wants you to prosper, because that anointing will break the yoke off of your life. I've done it for years. I send like a $25 offering and it kind of like and feel silly, because that's like all I had to give. In fact, that was most of the grocery money that week. But as far as I'm concerned, if I don't give, then ship your saddle home, you know, because you have to give. And that's what the enemy has tried to stop down. He's been trying to shut down the hearts of believers through the financial situation in the United States. And fear is the root of poverty. It's the root of the spirit of poverty. It's financial terrorism that has tried to take hold of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to fight back is to become a doer of the word in spite of your fear. The only way to break it is to give.
So one dynamic of what you're saying is giving is warfare.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not only an act of love and has other sides to it, mm-hmm. It's warfare. I've seen you during time, CK, over the years, where you really didn't have anything to give. And in terms of, you know, we paid our bills and the bank account didn't have any extra finances in it. I would see you walking around the house and going through your closet looking for something to give on purpose.
Yeah.
Just to give. Just to do warfare. Just
exactly.
To bless somebody else.
Right.
Just to keep our hearts in that God so loved that he gave.
Uh-huh.
The giving nature of God that keeps that spirit of poverty and fear and worldliness,
yes,
and greed and all that stuff away.
Right. I have to. And it's a part of walking in love, because even like in the prophetic movement and just like I've heard some of the most ridiculous doctrines that people preach is basically as supposedly a new word from God that you don't have to give, you don't have this, and they're really down on the fivefold ministry, don't believe that preachers deserve anything. And we've had to put up with that for years. And so in order for me to continue to walk in love towards those people and be able to minister to them from a heart of love, I've got to keep my heart pure. And it's painful when people don't want you to prosper.
Right.
And so I have to give my way out of it. I got to give. This time I'll send them an anonymous gift
uh-huh.
to the person that's preaching that.
Uh-huh.
Just to break it off of my heart and hopefully off of theirs. Because usually if they're doing that, they're coming from a place of pain. It's certainly not right. The word.
Oh, heavens no. That's bad teaching.
Yeah.
A bad doctrine.
It is. The thing people need to understand probably the most is how much God wants them to prosper. And I'm speaking now to the people, to my audience. If you're listening, you're still with me. You have such a powerful destiny. Yes, you. And God wants to bless you in such a way so that you can fulfill that destiny. It means that he needs to heal your heart of the financial woundedness that's in there. And the only way to allow him to do that, you got to open your heart and allow the anointing to flow into your heart about money. And understand and let yourself believe that he wants you to prosper. He wants you to fulfill those things. He wants you to be able to take care of your family. He wants you to be able to buy those clothes. He wants to add all these things to you. He wants all of that for you. He wants you to, souls are in the balance. Do you realize all these people out there that we're called to reach, that you're called to reach, they need you to prosper. Because if you don't prosper, how are you going to preach the gospel to them? If we don't prosper, for instance, how do we preach to the nations if you only have enough money to go stand on the corner and preach to three people, you know? The Christian mindset, the body of Christ needs to just pick themselves up out of that crap and start looking up and start believing and connect their heart with God's heart for the nations. Lift your vision higher. Lift your vision up. See what God sees. Love what God loves. And care enough, love it enough to give towards that. Give the thing that matters the most to you, to every human that's connected to your heart, and that's your money. When God sees that willingness on a human being, that means all heaven's getting ready to break loose and break open for you. When you start caring about and loving what He loves enough to back it with your money, you have just opened up heaven or allowed God to open it to you. And then you really will be on the adventure of your life. And the destiny will spring forth speedily. Angels of acceleration. Not only accelerating your destiny, but accelerating your finances. Angels of finances are out there getting it. They're out there gathering it up and bringing it to you. You don't have to win the lottery. All you got to do is connect with the anointing and connect with God's heart and become a giver like He is. Who, and watch all the blessings flow like a river, flowing like a river. God bless you.
Well, that's really good, and I think we have to just leave it there today. We're running out of time. I do want to say a couple things, though. First of all, thank you to the Streams of Many Waters Podcast Network. Great guys and gals over there, and so I just want to give a shout out there.
Yeah.
Also, website. www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Go ahead and click through there. Lots of great resources, so thanks for doing that. One more thing, the email. If you have a question, write to prophetsdwp@gmail.com, and we may read it on the air. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters Podcast Network.